So today we explore Paul's final admonition in our preaching series, Summer in the Spirit. It comes from Galatians, and Paul says, "So I say to you, walk by the Spirit." Now, in the Greek here, walk is often used as a figure of speech, meaning to live with or live by. And I sort of like that translation better than walk because it implies sort of a lifestyle. Paul is saying this Christian life, this lifestyle as a Christian, is to be lived in the Spirit. And as Father Joseph said last week, that is actually what we were made for. But, if I'm honest, this admonition of Paul's, live by the Spirit, is a bit puzzling. And here's my confusion. You may share it. When I was baptized and when you were baptized, we received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us fully. And that happened at our baptism. God did not hold anything back. We were filled to overflowing, and that is a seal of our redemption. Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Now, what's the seal? The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, meaning put inside you. A deposit guaranteeing what? Our inheritance, our salvation, that we are children of God. And he says it in the last line, until the redemption of those who are God, who are God's possession, until Jesus comes again. So, doesn't that mean that I'm living in the Spirit already? Because the Spirit is already living in me. If that's true, then why is Paul commanding us to live in the Spirit? You see what I'm getting at? It's a bit confusing, right? So, is there a difference between having the Spirit living in us and Paul's command to live by the Spirit? And I think there is. And so, this week I racked my brain to try to come up with a very sort of scholarly, brilliant, sophisticated illustration to drive this home, and I think I got it. Okay? Y'all ready for this? Here we go. Let's say that you have a long-lost uncle, and he dies and leaves you his Ferrari. It kind of looks like that, right there. Right? Leaves you his Ferrari. And so you take the Ferrari, and you park it in the garage, and you're like, man, this is like a $500,000 vehicle. I got to be really careful. And it's got a lot of power. And so occasionally you take it and drive it around the block, right? Or you may take it to Costco to buy one of those massive bundles of paper towel, like that. But you never take it to the racetrack, right? You never go out on the freeway at 2 a.m. and just open that thing up, right? Vroom! The truth is, you may possess a Ferrari. You may now own a Ferrari, but you are not living the Ferrari life. And listen, I do know something about the Ferrari life. Thanks, Uncle Phil. May his soul rest in peace. Yes, we have all received the Holy Spirit in fullness in our baptism, but I think a lot of us folks have parked him in the garage. Why? Because perhaps we're a bit frightened of what the Holy Spirit would do if we let him loose in our lives. The Holy Spirit's like Sammy Hagar. I just can't drive 55. The truth is, the reason we're afraid is because all of us, including Carl, all of us are control freaks on some level, right? We like things predictable, we like things controlled, we like things the way we like things. And allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way with us is perhaps a bridge too far. Why? Because we can't control the Spirit. But I would say our fears are unfounded. If we look at John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, meaning Jesus is the first counselor, I'll give you another counselor. And that counselor, that advocate, that companion will be with you forever. If you jump down from that, John 14, 26, Jesus goes on, he says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. All things, teach you all things. Everything you need to know, the Spirit will teach you and will remind you of everything I've said to you. If you jump further down to John 16, 12, Jesus says, I have much more to tell you, but you guys can't handle it. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. You see, the mission of the Spirit is to be our guide, our teacher, our comforter, our companion, our encourager, and to lead us into all truth. There is actually nothing to be afraid of. The Spirit is on our side, in our corner. He's our coach. Yeah, that's it. He's our coach. The Spirit is our divine life coach. To coach us into our best lives. So we lose 20 pounds, turn back the hands of time, so that we're all successful to drive Ferraris and are fulfilled. No. This is not a prosperity gospel I'm preaching. Do I look like Joel Osteen? A little bit, maybe. The Spirit's desire is to transform us, not into our best selves, but authentic reflections of Jesus. And when we are an authentic reflection of Jesus, we are our best selves. And we're to be a gift for the world. You, a gift for the world, not a burden for the world, a gift. But here's the problem, and I bet you see it. You can have the best coach in the world, right? You could. I could have Deion Sanders, prime time, right? I could have him as my personal fitness coach. But if I'm unwilling to surrender and submit to prime time and do what he says, his help is useless. Now, his help may be, in fact, useless. We'll see in September. But anyways. Listen, we have been given the Holy Spirit. He lives in us by virtue of our baptism. And he is waiting. He's waiting for one thing and one thing only. An invitation from us to step out of the wings of our lives into center stage. Where he guides us and leads us and equips us. And as Joseph said last Sunday, fulfills our destiny, which is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be a gift to the world. He is waiting patiently. As Joseph said, he's not doing the bum's rush. He is standing back, waiting for the invitation from you. And here's the deal. You have to choose who you're following in this life. And what you're following. And as disciples of Jesus, we have to choose every day, consciously choose to allow the Spirit to lead us into God's work for God's glory. That's living in the Spirit. It's not some self-actualization, self-improvement strategy, no. Living in the Spirit is a God-glorifying strategy forged through our self-sacrifice and obedience. And it is in that choice that we are sanctified. We are made holy. Why? Because as we choose to live that way, we become more like Jesus and we start living like Jesus. Life in the Spirit is the means by which we are in the process of being made holy. And listen, you have been called to be holy. Nowhere in Scripture does God say, I am calling you to be mediocre. Right? Average. I'm calling you to be disintegrated people, partly mine, partly the world. No. Holy people. A people set apart by God to do His will in the world. And as Peter wrote in his first letter, he says, but you, Ruth, and you, Kim, and you, Robert, and you, Christ Church, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And here's our mission, that you may declare the praises of Him. The one who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Now, I know all of that sounds daunting. And for some of us, we're saying to ourselves, listen, I got a job, I got three kids. I'm lucky if I bathe on a regular basis. And now I'm supposed to be God's special agent in the world? I'm exhausted already. Anybody in that camp? Anybody got your head up? I saw Patricia. She's like, that's me. That's me. I get it. And here's the good news. And I think Queen Elizabeth nailed it on the head. There she is. I told you guys, oh yeah, I said don't put her up this time. I want everybody to picture Elizabeth in your head. She said this. There she is. I knew she'd show up. I don't know about you, but I miss her. Charles, not so much. Anyways. She said this. Christ's example helps me see the value of doing small things with great love. The value of doing small things with great love. Listen, the majority of us will not be a Billy Graham or a Mother Teresa or a Queen Elizabeth. We're just not. But any of us can do small things with great love. For the benefit of others and for the glory of God. It really is that simple, Ruth Ann. It is. Each day I start my day with a prayer. I say, Lord Jesus, I abandon to you myself and my life. Do within me as you desire. Do with my life as you please, that I may be a blessing to all and you may be glorified. And then I step into the world, listening and looking for the Spirit to prompt me, guide me, invite me into the in-between spaces of my life. Oftentimes somebody will come to mind, and I haven't thought about them in a while, maybe a parishioner, maybe a friend, and I feel this nudge. And so I stop and I say a prayer for that person. And then I usually reach out with a phone call or an email. And invariably, something is going on in that person's life that I was unaware of, but they were in need of comfort, support, counsel, or prayer. It's astounding how often that happens. And just willing to be interrupted by the Spirit to turn my heart in that way on behalf of another person. It's a small thing. Can we do it with great love? Or it might be something that's just happening right in front of you. It's happening right in front of you, and you get the choice how you're going to respond. Now, many of you know that I'm sort of an efficiency freak. I love to be efficient. If I can do 3 things in 3 minutes, I'll do 5 things in 3 minutes and then break my arm patting myself on the back. Oh, my God. You are incredible. Yeah. So I'll go to the grocery store having to pick up 40 things and I'll say, I got 20 minutes to do it. Out of my way. And so I was heading into King Super, and this is God's honest truth. And I saw this guy from the neighborhood. I live in this neighborhood, and I know this guy. And he is the strangest, angriest, loneliest person I think I know. And I saw him, and I wanted to sort of dodge behind the shopping carts and then do this Tom Cruise Mission Impossible diving somersault behind the avocados and then just slip by. So he couldn't see me. But I didn't. I thought, Lord, use me as you see fit. And I walked right up to him and I said, hey, David, how are you today? Good to see you. And his head swung around like it was on a swivel, because I don't think this guy gets many people saying it's good to see you. And he launched into his most recent tragedy, which was 20 years ago, that still defines his reality and is the fuel for his insatiable anger at the world and everybody in it. And eventually he came to a close and I said, can I pray for you? And we prayed right there in the King Super. And he said, stop. He said, thanks for stopping and saying hi. You've made my day. I know these are little things, but that's what the Holy Spirit invites us into. Those little spaces in our lives. He invites us to be like Jesus out there. When you arrive before the judgment seat of Christ on the last day, and you've got your efficiency to-do list and all the things you've accomplished, he's going to be more interested in your love and how you have reflected Jesus in the world. Every time we're willing to be interrupted, every time we're willing to be sidetracked, willing to be detoured, willing to set ourselves aside and our agendas for just a moment and be of service to someone else in the name of Jesus, it pleases God. And isn't that what we really want to do with our lives? Is to please our God, our Creator, the lover of our souls. That, right there, is the heart of life in the Spirit. And let's be clear, it is not easy. It is not easy to cultivate that kind of lifestyle, because I'll tell you, it involves the transformation of our souls from being self-centered to God-centered. And everything in this world tells us to be self-centered, except the gospel. And here's the good news, and it's the good news that I started with this morning. You have everything you need to be that person. Why? Because you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in His fullness lives in you, Sam. You have everything you need. Our work is to make the choice to live it. To guide us, lead us, prompt us. Give us the courage to choose grace in the world. And every time we choose to listen to the Spirit and act, we allow ourselves to enter into God's divine sanctification. That we become less ourselves and the people we created and more like Him. Becoming like Jesus and learning to live like Him. I don't know about you, but I desire to be more like Him. I desire to be an authentic reflection of Jesus in the world. Why? So that others would come to know Him and come to love Him and follow Him and join us in worshiping Him. Small things done with great love are the most powerful tools in the hand of God. So I say to the people of Christ Church, let us live by the Spirit. Amen.